Okay, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back. It's our final shir. Bezrat Hashem, we'll finish now Masechet Rosh Hashanah. I had sent out a questionnaire, both about the timing of the shir going forward, but we'll leave it at 8:30 since it interferes, to make it early would interfere with some people's Marav plans. So we'll leave it at 8:30 going forward, kol od that we're still meeting online, that is, of course. But I suggested starting next week either to start learning Ta'anit, which is, you know, again, a short Masechta. I think it's 31. I think it goes up to Daf Lamed Aleph, you know, which is more or less the size of Rosh Hashanah that we're completing now, or Yoma, which is considerably longer. It's Yoma is 89 Dapim, 88 Dapim. Anyway, a few people had weighed in with their vote, so you know I'm going to decide tomorrow morning, but I give you the option to cast your ballots until then. But you know, as sometimes happens, not all the ballots get counted, the absentee ballots and things like that. Anyway, so we're right here on the last Amud. Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. We were still talking about this whole sugya about when and how the Shliach Tzibur can be motzi people in the Tfilat Amidah. So the Gemara says, and there was a machloket about the level of the machloket between Rabban Gamliel and the Chacham, and whether or not this matter was completely resolved, or whether or not it remained a machloket, meaning whether the Chachamim had accepted Rabban Gamliel's position, or whether it remained a machloket, despite the fact that the halacha in this case is like Rabban Gamliel. So the Gemara says, Kisalik Rabbi Abba miyamei Persha, when Rabbi Abba was, I don't know why, at the top, at the very tip, you see where we are? The top line. It's one of those serendipitous occasions where the very top of the Amud begins a new sentence. So I don't know what the relevance of the fact that this statement of Rabbi Abba was said while he was at sea, or when he had returned from a sea voyage. But that's certainly interesting. Does Rashi say anything? Right? Rashi says, "Sheheflig b'svina liyam v'chazar." He went off to sea, he came back, he said the following halacha. Modim chachamim l'Rabban Gamliel bebrachot shel Rosh Hashanah v'shel Yom HaKippurim. The chachamim agreed with Rabban Gamliel for the chazaras hashatz of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, that the shliach tzibur can be motzi, the listeners, whether they're baki or whether they're not baki. But then when the Gemara goes on and says, "V'halacha michlal depligi bevrachot tochol hashana," and the idea that there was a residing, a remaining machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel was about the rest of the year. The rest of the year, for like a regular, I just came back from shul, yidav mincha, a mincha like today. Could the shliach tzibur be motzi me under normal conditions or not? So the Chachamim say no. But even the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Gamliel that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because, I mean, how many people could possibly commit the whole Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur davening to memory? So obviously there, they agree that you can be yotze through the shliach tzibur. Then the Gemara says, "Ini? Oh yeah? Is that really the case?" Ini, you see where we are? Ini, v'ha'omer Rabbi Chana Tzipora, Rabbi Chana of Tzipori, he was mentioned just a daf earlier. Omer b'yochanan halacha k'rabban Gamliel, b'vrachot shel Rosh Hashanah v'shel Yom HaKippurim. That implies that, to say that the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel, again, implies the idea that, although the halacha is like him, it is not a unanimous opinion. You know, it's like in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, you know, who was it? It was Justice Rehnquist. There was someone said the most important thing you need to know to be on the Supreme Court in the United States is how to count to five. There are nine justices. If you get five votes, halacha kamotcha. That's the constitutional reality. So knowing how to count to five is the main thing. But in other words, five justices, they just had all these cases that they released. Five justices say one thing about abortion or about the Second Amendment or about the Electoral College or whatever the cases are that have been coming out these days. That is the law of the land. But yet you have four justices that write dissenting opinions. And then you have other cases which are issued unanimously. So here, is it unanimous? We know what the halacha is, but is it a unanimous decision or is there a machloket? So to say the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel implies, yes, that's the normative law, but there's another opinion. But there's another opinion like the Chachamim. Ela Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Man Modim Rabbi Meir V'halacha Michlal De Plige. So who is it that agreed with Rabbi Gamliel? Who canceled? Who changed their mind and decided to agree with Rabbi Gamliel? So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said it was Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir changed his position. He changed his vote, but nevertheless, the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, which implies that there are other people aside from Rabbi Meir who disagree still. The Tanya, there's a braita. Brachot shel Rosh Hashanah v'shel Yom HaKippurim. Shliach tzibur motziah rabim yidei chovatan. With the Amida of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Shliach tzibur can be motzi everyone. He can daven and everyone listens and answers amen. Divrei Rabbi Meir. You see, Rabbi Meir's statement is explicitly like Rabbi Gamliel. V'chachamim omrim, k'shem sheshliach tzibur chayav, kach kol yochid v'yochid chayav. But the Chachamim say that the Shliach Tzibur is obligated, the individuals are obligated, everybody has to daven the Amida, and they can't be motzi, the Shliach Tzibur can't be motzi you, generally speaking. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur may be an exception, but for a regular Amida, that's the way it is. So, Maishna honey, why is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur different? You see where we are? Maishna honey, why is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur different? So, Ilema Mishum Dinfishi Kroe, if it's because there's a lot of psukim. You know, the Rosh Hashanah davening, you have 10 psukim for Malchio, 10 psukim for Zichrono, 10 psukim for Shofrot. Or maybe some say the psukim that we're talking about, the psukim of the Musaf. Right? You know, like on Shabbat, you know, like if you had to, like I wouldn't advise it and I wouldn't try to do it myself. But if you had to daven Musaf on Shabbos, Baal Peh, you could probably pull it off. Right? And the complicated part, the psukim of the Musaf, so fortunately there's that song. It's a funny song. I remember as a kid learning to daven, following along in English in the Birnbaum Siddur, and thinking that the plain meaning of those psukim about the Korban Musaf, about, you know, what's being offered up on the Mizbeach, don't exactly comport with the tune that's used. They don't really go together, right? Uveyam, 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 ashabas. It's a pretty jolly tune. And there was something about it that always struck me as being discordant with the idea of the Korbanos. Not that I have a problem with the idea of the Korbanos. You know, under normal circumstances, we'd be finishing the Masechta tonight, and Steve would be hosting us for a barbecue. So, you know, I'm not opposed to the ritual slaughter and barbecuing of animals. But you get the point. So in all cases, why Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Because there's so many psukim, right? There's so much to remember. Who could possibly memorize, you know, the davening for those days? Va'omar Rav Chananel, Omar Rav, Kevan she'amar uvetoratcha katuv le'mor, shuv eino tzarich. But is that really true? Is it really true that we can't count on anyone to, we can't count on anyone to know the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur davening? Because maybe you don't need the whole thing, at least not bidyevit. Rav Chananel said as long as you say uvetaratcha katuv lemor, which is the introduction to the recitation of the ten psukim for Malchiot and the ten psukim for Shofrot and the ten psukim for Zichronot, or according to the opinion that we're talking about the psukim of the Korban Musaf, that's the introduction to those psukim. If you were to indicate, you say like, Hashem is the Melech, and in the Torah, Torah katuv lemor, and in the Torah it talks about this, and then instead of reciting the ten psukim, you say dot dot dot, right? You leave it blank because you don't remember all those psukim ba'al peh. You would be yotze. In other words, the reference to the fact that God's kingship and zichronot and shofrot are mentioned in the Torah, bidyevet is enough, he says. So maybe we could rely on people to daven by themselves bidyevet. What's preferable? For a person to be able to daven themselves in a bidyevet fashion, where, okay, we can't expect them to know all 30 psukim ba'al peh, but they could, the rest of the davening they could remember. And when it comes to the 30 psukim, all you have to say bidyevet is uvetaratcha katuv lemor. This is all described in the Holy Bible. And you be yotze bidyevet. Or is it preferable that they should be yotze davening on Rosh Hashanah by listening to the shliach tzibur? So Ela mishum de avshi brachot. And it's because there's so many brachot, right? And since not everybody can learn all the brachot bal peh, so we let them off the hook, and we let them down there. What is David? What is avshemi? It means like that. There's like a lot of them, but what is that word? David Kerwin, are you not with us? Oh. What is that? What does that word avshe mean? Right. Now, as Rashi explains the concept, but he doesn't explain what the word is. And as from the context, we know it means a lot of brachot. Okay, when you find
it, we're gonna find the text.
Okay, we should all be expecting a text. Gufa.
Our scroll says cumbersome.
Cumbersome. Okay, I mean that's obviously what the context means, but I'm not sure what the word. So Gufa, the Gemara goes back. Omer of Chananel, Omer Rav, Kevan she'amar v'taratcha katuv lemor shuveinot tzarich b'di'eved. If you don't recite the psukim, Malchiot Zichronot and Shofrot, you yotze. Savur mine hanimili biyochid aval betzibur lo. So doesn't that sound like we're talking about who can get away with skipping the psukim? An individual, right? From the context it seems clear. In other words, if your choice is to skip the psukim and be yotze b'dieved, or to be yotze through the shliach tzibur, it seems this whole kula of skipping the psukim is only for a yochid. But we would never let the shliach tzibur do it. So Itmar, Omar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Echad Yochid ve'Echad Tzibur. But Yehoshua ben Levi says no. Even the Shliach Tzibur can get away by skipping the Psukim.
I found Mendels, by the way.
Well, 1 second. Kevan she'amar uvetorotcha katuv le'mor shuv eino tzarich. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that even a Shliach Tzibur can skip the Psukim if he's unable to know them Baal Peh. So David, so I'm sorry, go ahead, say what
okay,
you
want. Okay, because it's interesting. It's not just a translation. It's actually a different explanation of the Sukkim based on that. He quotes the Rosh, Shemetziv Perush Chadash, Shefshah Levin Avshe Minashon Avsha, Rash, Rahash, Umazbir Shekevan She'ein Anashim
Beki'im.
Noise, but then, Mekevan She'ein Anashim Beki'im Bebrachot Ele, Hem Omrim Otam Bekol Ram. Ve'arash Mafriya Le'ele She'einam Beki'im.
Manin. Wait, so what's the point? That's the Rush says that?
Yeah.
The Rush says that about the Rush.
The Rush says that about the Rush, exactly.
In other words, what's the point that we let them abbreviate because it's because of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? By the way, that's the halacha. You know, normally when you, Biyamenu, not in their day, but normally when you daven, you should daven loud enough so that you can hear the words coming out of your mouth, but not so loud that the person next to you would hear it or be disturbed by it. I mean, nowadays that's easy because the person next to you is 6 feet away. But on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, technically speaking, that halacha does not apply. Since on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, everybody davens out of a machzor. So since you're davening out of a machzor, the assumption being that regular davening, regular weekday davening, not everybody had a sitter. And most people were davening Baal Peh. But on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where obviously you have to have a machzor, so then you can withstand a little bit of extra noise to without fear that it's going to cause you distraction. That being said, people find it very annoying to have people talking, but even people davening loudly in such a way in the middle of your, when you're davening your silent Shemon Esrei, it can be annoying. But technically speaking, the halacha allows it in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So David, what are you saying? The Rush says that since people find it hard to concentrate, since on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the neighbors are davening more loudly, that's why they might have to skip Sukkim.
It's a little confusing. He says because people are not familiar with the psukim, with the brachot, they say them loudly, and that noise bothers those that are not familiar with them.
Uh-huh. That, by the way, is true. If you're ever like trying to recite again in our day, you know, when we have everything, you know, on the phone and we have sidurim and we have access to everything, one should never really daven Baal Peh. You shouldn't bench Baal Peh. Right, you should, you know, reading it out of a text is usually an enhancement to kavanah, or at least having the text there. In other words, I usually say the Amidah more or less Baal Peh, but I always have the sitter open in front of me, and if something will happen that I'll get distracted, either because there's noise or because my mind wanders or something like that. So you know, looking back in the sitter is usually the best trick to get back your kavana, to get back your focus. But if you're ever having to recite something Baal Peh and you're getting distracted or you're getting confused, saying out loud is usually very helpful. So Gemara says Gufa. See below. Itma Omer Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Right. Hold on. Shuv Enotzer. Savur mine hani mili biyochad abba tzibur lo. So first we thought this idea of being able to skip the brachot, if you're unable to remember them, that's only about a yochid, but in the tzibur, that wouldn't be the case. But Itma Omer Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, echad yochid vechad tzibur. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi even extends this to the Shliach Tzibur. And you can imagine that there were probably, not every Tzibur was alike. You know, like the Tzibur that, you know, is very big and very wealthy and could bring in a fancy Shliach Tzibur and a, you know, a high holidays cantor. You know, he you know, he went to the trouble to make sure he knew it all about Peh. But if you were out like in a little village someplace where Bekoshi had a minion, you took what you could get. And maybe the Shliach Tzibur, you know, wasn't even able to recite all of the psukim of the Malchiot Zichronot and Shofrot. The Gemara says, Omar Rav, hold on, Omar Rav Elezer, Le'olam Yasdir Adam Tfilato V'char Kach Yitpalel. A person should always organize his thoughts, he should always literally arrange his davening, Yasdir Tfilato, before you daven. In other words, in the days of davening Baal Peh, before you would daven, it made sense to, you know, like review it in your head to make sure that you had it. You know, the fact that you know something Baal Peh today doesn't mean that you'll know it Baal Peh tomorrow.
Perhaps that's why they call it the book of prayer, the Sidur.
The Sidur, no, but Bechlet. Bechlet.
In other words, because you have to be Seder your Tfilah.
Right, right. Although I think it was initially called the Seder.
Right,
no, but in other words, the very early Siddur of Rav Amram Gon is called the Seder Amram Gon. Ki hu Seder et tfilah. Right? The reason that we call the Seder, the Pesach Seder, the Seder, what's the earliest origin of using that term? Leil HaSeder, the Seder for Pesach, Seder Pesach. David,
my books are in the other room. Right. I'm sure it's in some of these Haggadot that are like, you know, the historical ones, the academic ones.
Right, but that idea that it's misadir.
It sounds like Gonim.
So Omar Rabbi Elazar Leolam Yasdir Adam Tfilato V'Achar Kach Yitpalel. So Omar Rabbi Abba Mistabra Milta De Rabbi Elazar BeBirkot Shel Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippurim. That halacha that before you get up to say the Amida, you have to, you know, like review it. You have to have it prepared. So that's talking about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Vishel Prakim, and special occasions like Shal Shrigalim, right? But the day-to-day, obviously the day-to-day davening, we can't expect people before they daven Mincha every day to spend time to review the davening before they daven Mincha. There must have been an assumption that the day-in, day-out davening, you know, like Ashrei. You know the expression, you know, like Ashrei? It means like you know it Baal Peh. To say that you know something like Ashrei, which you say three times a day, and is easy to memorize since it's mostly a mnemonic, right? It's like the equivalent of saying you know it like the back of your hand, right? So like the regular weekday Amida, we can assume that a person knows that this halacha that you're required to review the davening can't apply to day to day. It must only apply to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the special tefillot. Aval dechol hashana, lo, we can't, obviously can't require it for the whole year long. So Gemara says, Ini, oh yeah? Is that true? Vaha Rav Yehuda misader tsaluto umatzale. Rav Yehuda, this is not Rabbi Yehuda. This is not Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. It's Rav Yehuda who was he was the Rosh Yeshiva who moved. He was the Amora who moved the Yeshiva from Nahardo to Pumbedita. And as he became the Rosh Yeshiva in Nahardo, and then he packed up and he moved it. You know, there were two great yeshivot in Bavel. There was Sura, and there was Nahardo, but Nahardo was Pumbedita. It moved. It was the same yeshiva. They just moved locations. So he would do this. He would review the davening each time he davened. Masader salute umatzale. Saluta, of course, means tefillah. How do you know that? Give me a source from which you know that the word salute is tefillah.
Saluton uvaoton.
Saluton uvaoton, right? Tefillot uvakashot. You know, the Syrians, the Chalabi Jews, they don't say that. Like we in we say daven. We use the Yiddish word daven. But what do Svardim say? Like, what's the Svardic word for davening? So they say, like if you go to Avenue J in Brooklyn, you're walking down the street, a guy might stop you and say, "Did you sully? Did you daven?" They're looking for a 10th guy to come in for the minyan, right? So, like, you know, here they say, like, you know, "Did you daven?" or "Kfarit palalta?" So in slang, Syrian Jewish language, you say "sully" from "saluta." So he would do this. So obviously, Rav Yehuda apparently goes against the understanding of Rabbi Eliezer's halacha that this requirement only applies to special tefillot. Shani Rav Yehuda, no, Rav Yehuda is exceptional. Kevan de mitaltin yomin, letaltin yomin, halva matzli. Rav Yehuda had a rather unusual relationship to tefillah. He would, on average, only daven once every 30 days. I presume he said Kriyat Shema every day, Erev Avoker. But the Amida, he did not daven frequently, because he was very occupied with his learning and applied to himself the halacha of Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah, and may have, because of his engagement in learning, feared that he was unable to generate the presence of mind, the kavanah, to daven properly. He did not daven the Amida. This is not our, you know, we're in a unique position. Our kavanah is so bad that we daven more. But that Ikar Adin, the Gemara in Brachos, talks about the idea that this is the beginning of the fifth parak of Brachos, that, you know, anything that's going to disturb your kavana, like, let's say it's your wedding night and you have other things on your mind, or let's say you just returned from a trip, and, you know, travel is very difficult. You know what that's like? You come back from the airport and you waited for your bags and you got into the cab and you got home and you walk into your house at, you know, midnight or 1 a.m., right? So Mi'ikar Adin, the Gemara says, maybe you not that you don't have to daven, maybe you shouldn't daven, because the chance that you're going to have proper kavanah is pretty low. So we generally operate under the idea that our kavanah is always pretty low. So we don't give people off on the odd chance that they're going to have low kavanah. And we say you should always try to daven. Those people who wouldn't daven, they would say Kriyat Shema, right? The Chatan, the case of the Chatan perhaps is different, but there's other people who might have a reason to think they don't have proper Kavanah for Tefillah, so apparently Rav Yehuda thought that he was in that category, and he would only very rarely daven the Amida. So since he only daven the Amida once a month, so then it's like a special occasion, and before he would daven, he would do this exercise of reviewing the Tefillah. And all of this being said, whatever you can do to improve kavana is generally praiseworthy. And there, you know, there are different things that are worthwhile doing. Aryeh Kaplan has a very good book called Jewish Meditation. He has a few books on this, which I had owned for many years. It sat on my shelf, and I never read it because it sounded a little too
new agey
for me. Even though I'm a great admirer, being a teenager who became religious through NCSY, I'm a great admirer of Aryeh Kaplan. But this book I never read. And then a long time ago, maybe, I don't know, 20 years ago or so, I read it, and it really helped my davening very much. It didn't last forever. Few things do, and I should probably reread it. But he gives certain techniques, in other words, for meditation. It's not meditation the way we think of meditation. But all of these things, Rabbi Elazar's halacha is a meditative technique, right? In other words, if you know something ba'al peh, but you need to bring it up from the latent recesses of your mind to the active place where you can actually use it in order to daven properly, that takes exercise. And
it's suggesting transcendental meditation.
No, it's not transcendental. Yeah.
It's being able to focus better.
Right, so it's techniques for focusing, although he obviously does borrow certain techniques from traditions of meditation. So anyway, so Rav Yehuda is not an exception to the halacha of Rabbi Elazar. He's the embodiment of the halacha of Rabbi Elazar as defined by Rabbi Abba, that you have to do this exercise of, you know, just like before you go out, just like before you play ball, you're supposed to stretch, otherwise your muscles aren't going to work properly. So before you daven, you have to stretch your kavana muscles. So that's particularly true for the unusual davenings. And by the way, this is the halacha. Even for us who have the machzor, this is the halacha. It's before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, before Shalosh Regalim, you're supposed to go over, you're supposed to look over the davening. It shouldn't be you get to shul on Kol Nidre night and you haven't thought about the davening, and like you turn the page and you say, oh yeah, I forgot that that's in there. Right, that's true for certainly Bikar for the Amidah, but it's also true for all of the Piyutim, for all the other things. Right, you should review it so that it's a little bit fresh in your mind when you approach the davening. And therefore, it is because of this, Rabbi Elazar was have a matzlik prokim dummy. His regular weekday mincha when he would daven it was an unusual tefillah because he wasn't saying it every day. Omar of Achabar Avira, Omar Rabbi Shimon Chasida, Poter Hayara Ben Gamliel, Afilu Am Shebesadot. Rabbi Gamliel's position that the Shliach Tzibur can fulfill the obligation of the community was very wide ranging. It's not only as we imagined it. The people that were standing there in shul with their feet together, listening along and reciting Amen. It was even the workers out in the field. Velo mi boy hane de kaima hocha? Really? I don't understand. The Shliach Tzibur's in shul. He's davening for the Amud. And there's workers out in the field. He's going to be motzi them. They don't have to come here, right? They don't have to dekai mahochi. They don't have to be in shul to be yotze. So adirabba, hani anise. Hane lo anise. So the Gemara says, pumfakir, this should be the opposite, right? The people in the field, they don't come to shul. Because they're anus, they're working, they can't get off, the boss is standing over them, right? They can't, they don't have time, they're not flexible, they're not masters of their own time. So they're anus, their circumstances are out of their control. But the people in shul, the people who are in town, not out in the field, who don't come to shul, they can control their circumstances. They should be able to go to shul. So therefore, they shouldn't be able to be yotze through the shliach tzibur. The Tani Abba Barei de Reb Binyamin Barchia. Am she'achurei kohanim einan bechlal bracha. You know, if you're standing behind the Kohanim who are duchening, you're not included in the bracha. But if you're out in the field, in other words, when the Kohanim are duchening, we're coming up on Parshat Naso in a few weeks. We had Parshat Naso a few weeks ago. It's a good Dvar Torah. As a matter of fact, I've even given it. When we say, the Gemara asks, are the Kohanim giving us the bracha, or is HaKadosh Baruch Hu passing the bracha through them? But the bracha that's being delivered, whether it's the bracha of the Kohen or it's the bracha of Hashem, And that's when it says Va'ani Avarchem. Look at Rashi there. Rashi explains there's two possibilities. Va'ani Avarchem. I will the Kotivarchu et Bnei Israel. Let the Kohanim bless the Jewish people. Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha v'chulei v'chulei. Right? Va'ani Hashem Avarchem. I will bless them. So what's the antecedent of Avarchem? Now, the Kohanim should give a bracha to the Jews, and I, God, will then bless the Kohanim, which is, after all, fair. Why shouldn't they get a bracha? Or the Kohanim should perform this ritual where they stand there with their hands out, and I, Hashem, will bless the Jewish people. They're just my conduit. So how does it work when the Kohanim give Birkat Kohanim? Right? Is it only the people that are there in the room? Or is it a bracha that works for the whole world? So the Gemara says that when the Kohanim give the bracha, it counts also for the Am Shebesadot. You couldn't go to shul that morning, right? You had to get up and go out to work in the field. So when the Kohanim stand in shul and give Birkat Kohanim, it reaches you out in the field. So then what's this halacha that if you're standing Achurei HaKohanim, You don't count. I remember when I was a kid in my shul, there was a bima, and there was like seating on the side of the bima, like the bima was in the front of the shul, but it was like high. It was like, I mean, now you'd never build a shul like this because it's so like accessible. No. Handicap accessibility. Like to get up to the bima, you had to like walk up 9 steps or something. But there was also seating on the sides of the bima. So on Yontif, when you know we didn't have duchening every day, I used to sit on the side. But I used to have one of those seats on the side. So when there'd be duchening, the gaboyim would be very uptight about it. They would like push everyone out. They tell the ladies on the there's a ladies section on the other side. In the kind of, like on the side. Because if you stood there, you'd be behind the Kohanim. Right? So they would push everyone out to go stand in like the regular part of the shul, so you shouldn't miss the bracha. So why is this? Well, I understand. The Birkat Kohanim can reach the Am Shebesadot, the people out in the field, but it can't reach the guy who's standing there on the side a little bit behind. Yeah, sure, you know why? Because the people that are out there on the side, the people out there on the side are showing that they're not like interested in participating. You see, sometimes like there are many people who don't know the proper din here. You're not supposed to turn your face from the Kohanim. You see this sometimes that people, you know, we have this nice minug, you put the talis over your head, and if your kids are there, your kids gather around in the talis. But they shouldn't turn away from the thing. I see there's some people who like, they have this thing where they have their two sons, they stand facing the Kohanim, the two sons come and kind of like turn around, you know, so that they can kind of like cuddle into their father's embrace. Oops. But basically, they're turning their heads from the Kohanim. That's not proper. That shows that you're not interested in accepting the bracha from the Kohanim. Right? But the Am Shebesadot, that's Anus. They had to go to work. They had to support their family. So if it's Anus, the bracha can reach them out there. But if you're mamish right there in the room, but you're standing with your back to them, so that shows that you literally have turned your back. And you're not able to get the bracha. Ela ki ata ravin, Omar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Omar Rabbi Shimon Chasida, lo patar Rabban Gamliel ela am shebesadot. Rabban Gamliel said that the davening can reach the people out in the field, but you know who it can't reach? The person who could have come to shul and didn't. Omer Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Omer Rabbi Shimon Chasida, Lo Patar Rabban Gamliel El Am Shebesadot, Mai Taima, Mishum de anisi b'malacha. The people in the field, the workers in the field, they were anus. They had no choice. They were not in control. But the people of Val Ba'ir, the people who were in town and just were too lazy to walk up the block to go to Davin Mincha, so them, it doesn't count for. Hadran alach yom tov v'salikala mesechet Rosh Hashanah mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov. We finished
a rather appropriate ending, considering our situation these days.
Considering our situation, yes.
And
yes.
The one we're going into now, you know, ototo.
Right. Well, let's hope not. Okay.
Well, either way, we're going into limited minyanim.
Yes, that's true. That's true. La halacha, generally speaking, we aren't yotzei, because we all have sidurim. Generally speaking, we're not. David mentioned like an exigent circumstance on a Bnei Akiva Shabbaton last week. Generally speaking, we're not yotzei the Amidah through the Shalich Tzibur. Everybody davens their own Amidah. The Mishnah Brura points out that when you are being yotzei the Amidah by listening to the Shalich Tzibur and Eretz Yisrael Amen, besides the fact you have to stand as if you're davening with your feet together, you should take your three steps back afterwards with the Shalich Tzibur. You should obviously answer Amen. But the Mishnah Brura says you have to understand the davening. If you don't understand the davening, and the Shliach Tzibur is just saying the words, and to you it's Chinese, unless you happen to be from China, you're not Yotzei. And it's preferable to daven the Amidah in translation, in English, or in whatever your native language is, than to daven by being Yotzei through the Shliach Tzibur. You know, I used to daven the Amidah in English. When I started davening, when I was like, I guess, 15 years old, when I started davening, I really didn't know Hebrew very well. But I had the Birnbaum sitter. This was pre-Art Scroll. And I used to daven three times a day, but I davened in English. And at a certain point, hold on a second.
I can get mine too. Not mine. Actually, I have my problems.
I don't know if they make regular Birnbaum Sidurim anymore, but they, for a long time, they haven't made this little paperback Birnbaum Sidur, which I got as a gift from Rabbi Stephen Dworkin Zichrona Levracha, who was my rabbi and who had such a profound effect on my life. But at a certain point, I was davening three times a day, but in English, and I knew the whole Amidah. According to the Birnbaum translation, I knew the whole Amidah Baal Peh, just like I know the Amidah, the regular Amidah in Hebrew today, Baal Peh. Right? When I proclaim the name of the Lord, give glory to our God. O Lord, open thou my lips, that my mouth may declare thy praise. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Great, mighty, revered God, sublime God, who bestowest loving kindness and art master of all things, who remembers the good deeds of our fathers, and who will graciously bring a redeemer to their children's children for the sake of thy name. I do the whole Amidah, beginning to end, Baal Peh. I could have an all Baal Peh. Right now, I don't remember it now, because it's been many, many years since I stopped doing that. But it's like amazing what the mind can store if you do it, right? So the truth is that there's some value to that. You know, we who are all, you know, fluent in Hebrew, but Hebrew, of course, is not our native language, sadly. We don't have the same intimacy with the language that we do with whatever your native language is. There's value from time to time in reading over the davening in English. Not to daven in English. We're all capable of davening in Rit, thank God. But there's value in opening a Birnbaum sitter, an Art Scroll sitter, or now the Koran sitter, the Sachs translation, and just reading it, because it will remind you of the meaning. It's another kind of aid to Kavanah. that is, it's always worth investing. It's endlessly depreciating. Kavana is something, it's Sisyphean, right? You have to keep rolling that rock up the hill, but the natural inclination is that it keeps rolling down. You know, this davening at home thing during Corona, you know, it's not great. It's really not great. It does not help your davening. When we all, you know, it seems like a long time ago when we had that Zoom minion every day, that was of great value. If nothing else, it helped you pace the davening. But if all you're doing is davening at home by yourself, you know, every day, it's just going to get quicker and quicker. It's like amazing, like how quickly you can daven a whole Shabbos davening when you're home davening b'yichidus, right? I mean, it's really amazing. You know, like somebody tells me they daven the whole Shabbos davening in 15 minutes or something. So it's just frightening. And if God forbid we should have to go back, you have to really think, okay, what am I going to do to, you know, if I could go back, if I was very naive at the beginning of Corona. I really thought Corona was going to be, you know, 2-3 weeks. I would have bet anything. If you would have told me we'd still be, you know, dealing with this in July, I would have told you were crazy. But now, if I could go back, if I'd known everything then, if I'd known then that it was going to be so long, I would have done so many different things. I wouldn't have gotten into that bad habit of eating all that snack food when I was at home. I wouldn't have quite as easily given up the exercise routine I'd been keeping up beforehand. But you slip into these bad habits. So if we have to go back to some form of davening b'yichidus, so think about it in advance, plan in advance for how to try to generate and maintain as good a level of kavana as you can.
Anyway, you know, it's interesting. I called Rabbi Feldman just before Pesach in the middle of, you know, we're there in the Corona. Rabbi Emanuel Feldman.
Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, right?
You're one of your predecessors.
My distinguished predecessor.
Yeah, and one of the things he said to me was that he was in pride, or just as a matter of fact, that the davening was taking him so much longer alone at home than at shul, because he wasn't having to, you know, keep up with the shlev tzibur.
Well, he's a rabbi.
I said to him, you know, that's pretty amazing.
That's just another way that Rabbi Feldman is a quite exceptional person. But that experience probably doesn't match most people. Most people is the exact opposite. Yeah. So, okay. Well, anyway, yeshe koach to everyone on Masechet Rosh Hashanah. If you missed, missed a couple of blot here and there, you can go back and fill in, and we'll all gather for the Siyum. But next week we'll start either Tanis or Yoma. So far, there's two votes for Tanis. If anybody wants to weigh in, you can let me know. Oh, there were three. Okay, so
I said I agree.
Oh, okay. So I'll let you know next week. I'll let you know tomorrow what the decision was. Okay, Yashikach.
Yashikach to you.
Yashikach.